Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey. Everybody with me? I mean, everybody knows what's going on but me, right? My entire life, right there. Hey, you have chosen an amazing day to be with us here at Epic Church. If today is your first day, or if you're pretty new to our church community, or for whatever reason, Epic hasn't become home for you yet, what you're going to witness today, I pray, will be something that amazes you and stuns you, even if it's brand new to you. You're going to witness a group of people making a significant commitment to your future and to the future of the city that we've come to love, the city of San Francisco. If you do call Epic Church home, you probably know that today is Commitment Day. Today's Commitment Day for the Home Initiative, which is our resource initiative that's going to fund a more permanent home in San Francisco that we might be able to announce to our city that we are here to stay. For those of us who are participating in this home initiative, today's Commitment Day, which means there's an envelope that a lot of us brought with us. If not, it's on your seat. And even if you've already given and made a commitment, I want to invite you to be part of this sacred moment, along with every one of you who are prepared to give and make your commitment today. At the end of my teaching time today, we will bring our gifts and commitments forward just as a symbolic gesture of our offering to God that we are saying to Him, use what we are giving, multiply it, and provide and unlock our future property because we want to do ministry in the heart of San Francisco for a long time to come, don't we? Even if you're not here, we want to pave the way forward for all of those who will step in here. And so I'm excited that you're here today. So often in our lives, we come to the realization, or at least we think we've come to the realization, that what happens in our life is dictated by our circumstances. Anybody else lived that way before besides me? But I want to tell you today that it's more than just about your response to your circumstances that dictates your life. Here's why I want to ask the question to set up everything I want to say to you personally today and to our church collectively. Here's the question. Are you living a have-to life or a get-to life? Ben, it depends on what day it is. Ben, it depends on what it is. Are you living a have-to life or a get-to life? Did you have to wake up this morning or did you get to wake up this morning? If you're one of my kids, don't raise your hand. Did you have to wake up or did you get to wake up? Do you have to invest in your significant relationships in your life or do you get to invest in your significant relationships in your life? Do you have to have a job or do you get to have a job? Do you have to live in San Francisco or do you get to live in San Francisco? Do you have to serve or do you get to serve? Do you and I have to pray to God to fulfill some checklist or do we get to speak to the God who made us? And as I was reading in my own time yesterday in Psalm 116, because He's turned His ear to me, I will pray to Him as long as I live. Do you live with a have-to mentality or a get-to mentality? Have-to is about duty. Get-to is about privilege. Have-to sucks the joy out of something. Get-to, I've been working on that, get-to infuses joy into something. Have-to is about doing something because you owe someone something. Do you know those kind of have-tos? Get-to is allowing you to do what you do freely because you actually want to do the thing that you're doing. We have a staff value that's one of our five staff values here at Epic, and it's just two words. We like to go abbreviating as much as we can. Here are the two words, get-to. Get-to. But that's actually the abbreviated version of what we actually mean when we say get-to. And I'm going to show you something in just a moment, the full extent of what we're trying to say with that value. I want this for my life. I want it for our family. I want it for our Epic staff team. And I want it for all of you and our entire church. Here's the equation you and I need to live with. Get-to is greater than have-to. Get to is greater than have to. See, I'm convinced that some of us live with a have to posture because we believe that we have a have to God. Anybody grow up in a culture where you had a have to God? Anybody grow up in a whole different religion where God was a have to God? You have to pray this. You have to say that. You have to give this. You have to wear that. Anybody else? Anybody else besides a pastor who doesn't like wearing a three-piece suit that you're glad you got rid of the have to God, have to wear? Anybody? Last night I was like, Shauna, I think I'm going to wear a hoodie that Will gave me for my birthday. She's like, this is commitment day. Get some buttons on that shirt. I can't wait to see you next week, though. God is a get to God. You see, you became convinced somewhere along the way, and maybe you're just now giving God or church a try because of what you were convinced of before, that he made you because he had to. He loved you because he had to. He sent Jesus because he had to. And if that's what you think about God, you made it up or someone downloaded that to your heart and mind, you couldn't be further from the truth. And so what I want to do today is give some of you a fresh vision for the God who is. See, even if you don't know many Bible verses, maybe you just saw it at a football game, John 3:16. It doesn't say God loved us because he had to. It doesn't say he gave Jesus because he had to. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a get to God. If you don't walk away with any other principle today, if you don't participate in this commitment day, I don't care. I want this for you more than anything else, I'll tell you. God is a get to God. He created you. He wired you. He gets to do something and bring a purpose out of your life. He gets to put you into relationship with himself. He gets to call you a son or daughter. I don't know what it was like for you growing up. I don't know who wanted you, who didn't want you, but this is a God who wants you, and he will stop at nothing to do whatever it takes to get you. And you need to know that will be our message. That is why we're going after this home initiative. It's why we're committed to staying in the city long term. It's why Shauna and I, come hell or high water, as far as we understand God's call in our life, we are in this and we are in it for the long term. And there's a group of people in this room, even if you aren't one of them yet, who is insistent on being a part of what God is doing, not just in this city, but specifically in your life. This is why we do what we do. This is why we started this church. I feel like I'm a little more preachy with this microphone, so let's go for it. Will, you were right. Will's like, man, I'm in. So just stay back. I know you've heard it once. I'm going to just keep bringing it, man. God is a get-to God. And if you and I adopt his get-to mentality, there's one of two possible realities that will happen as things shift in our lives. And I really want you to hone in on this. One possible reality is when you begin to see life as a get-to from God himself, you will start doing the kinds of things you haven't done so far in your life. Anybody know what that's like? You just start doing different things. You will go for things you didn't go for before. You will invest in relationships you wouldn't have invested in before. You will begin to see everything with new eyes, even if you live in the same home. But number two, it could be that you do the exact same thing, but you do it for entirely new reasons. Sometimes for me, it's not about me getting a new job. It's just about me having a new perspective with my job. Sometimes it's never about me getting new kids. You know, you can't really trade them, right? Everybody. It's not about trading them in. It's about having a new perspective as a dad. Sometimes it's not about me going to be a lead pastor somewhere else that I think would be easier from a distance. The grass is always greener. It's just about me getting this get-to perspective and going, no, I don't have to have a meeting with this person. I get to. I don't have to write messages. I get to. I don't have to be her husband. I get to. I get to. And guys, I just want to own it right from the beginning. Even if you live with primarily a get-to mentality, there will be some have-to days. Do you know what I mean? And I've got to be straight from the heart here. When this decision was made by our board, it's funny, I talk about our board at Epic Church like I'm not on it. I was part of the decision-making, okay? But what I felt like that day, it was October of 2018, I felt like a bunch of have-to came into my heart that day. Man, I was enjoying life as it was. I was enjoying talking about things that were less risky than finding a permanent home in the city of San Francisco. I was enjoying myself. And it just felt like I have to. And I'm so privileged to tell you today that God is changing my perspective as a husband. He's changing my perspective as a father. He's changing my perspective as a boss. He's changing my perspective as a citizen of the city of San Francisco. And I don't always get it right, but life is such a get-to for me right now. I cannot believe, as Lindsay and Will and I prayed like we do every Sunday morning, for years and years we've done that now, all three of us with more butterflies in our stomach today than most days, we just said, what a privilege. Not only that God would call us to do this, but he would call us to do it together. And that doesn't stop with the three of us. It goes through the other 15 people on our team, and it goes through hundreds and hundreds of you who call Epic Church home. What if we get a get-to in us? Today, I want to bring so much hope and faith as I give a talk to conclude this home series called The Privilege of Participation. the privilege of participation. Around 1000 BC, King David had it in his heart to build a temple for God. So this is about 3000 years ago. Only God said to David, David, that's not the assignment that I have for you. I have that assignment for your son, Solomon. Now, how many of you would confess, if you're a leader type especially, if you're maybe a 3 on the Enneagram, if you love being in charge, I don't know anybody like that. If you had it in your heart to do something and lead the way, and you found out someone else was going to do it, how many of you would want nothing to do with it like me oftentimes? Some of you are lying. I'll never forget a parent-teacher conference that Shauna and I went to for one of our kids, and the teacher said, in our classroom, we do a lot of group activity. And she said, when your child is the leader, it is awesome. She said, when that child is not the leader, it doesn't go so well. I'm throwing her a high five, and she's not responding. I'm like, that's a compliment, right? And then I'm like, I have no clue where he gets that from. I can't imagine being in a group and not going well if I'm not the leader. It's just in me, right? David was a leader. I mean, this guy, I'm going to speak about him in our Imperfect Origin series that we're going to do in December. You don't want to miss that. If anybody comes from a family that was less than perfect and you want to know how to overcome it, show up December 1st and beyond. I know all of you came from perfect families. For the rest of us, we're going to work out our dysfunction right here in the house of God. So, David, what would he do? I mean, he's not going to be the point guy. He's not going to be the leader. He's not going to be the one to build it. What would he do? Here's what he does. Stunning. He gives what's equivalent today to billions of dollars. We're not doing that, okay? All of a sudden, we felt better now, about $5 million. David went all in and he gave, but then I want you to see the response of the people. Because here's what is crazy. When a few of us have a get-to mentality and we lead the way, that get-to spreads, doesn't it? And have-to spreads the same way. You ever had a have-to boss? And then that have-to boss created a have-to team? And then he got with other have-to leaders, and all of a sudden, now you work at a have-to company? Anybody ever been to a have-to church before? It takes one person, and then it takes 3, and then it takes 10, and then it takes the first 100, and then it takes the leadership team. We're not going to become a have-to church here. If this becomes have-to, let's go to a place where we can get to. And David leads the people, and the text is 1 Chronicles chapter 29 today. You've got it on the Epic Church app. You can open your Bible there. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 6 through 14. You can go ahead and stand as we find that together. I want to give you a little bit of context. Again, 1000 BC, David's putting it not in his heart. God has put it to build the temple, but he's put it in the heart and calling of Solomon. And they're going to give to something, but I want you to notice a couple of things in this text. This isn't primarily about building a building. Even though in the Old Testament or in this time before Jesus, they're building the temple of God where the presence of God would be housed. It's a big deal, but it's not ultimately about that. It's not ultimately about what they would give, though that's a huge piece of the puzzle. It's ultimately about what God was doing. And I want you to look for, as I read this text, I want you to look for the get-to mentality, or do they have a have-to mentality? Verse 6. Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of the father of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Listen to this. "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." If this becomes a get-to for us, it will become a get to for all the people who will show up here in the future. We get to so that they will get to. Have a seat and let's try to get into this get to mentality. If you look at the adverbs represented about these people who gave, not only did David give willingly, but they all gave willingly. They gave abundantly. They gave wholeheartedly. They gave freely. There was no one saying, you've got to give. There was no coercion. There was no twisting of the arm. There was no ulterior motive. There was zero manipulation. But they wanted in because they wanted to be a part of what God was doing. They didn't want to miss out. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, which says this, each of you, each of us should give what we have decided in our heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a... And the reason he loves a cheerful giver is because he is a cheerful giver. He's not a have-to God. He doesn't bless me because he has to. He doesn't bless you because he has to. He hasn't given us this amazing past almost 9 years because he had to. It's because he wanted to deliver something to us, and then he wanted to deliver something through us to our city here. Ultimately, that it might spread throughout the Bay Area, throughout this nation, and to the world. We've always been about that from day one, and we will continue to be about that. From the day that we opened our doors here at Epic, it's been our mission to serve every person that walks in those doors, wherever those doors might have been, and even if that person would never, ever once contribute to what we're doing here at Epic. But also in every season, the only way that we can reach an increasing number of people walking through our doors if there was a growing number of us who insisted on being contributors. And I don't simply mean with our finances. I mean a growing number of us who said we will serve, a growing number of us who said we will show up early or we will stay late, a growing number of us who will host and lead small groups, a growing number of us who will use our technical skills so that we can produce this online experience 3 times a day, every single Sunday, a growing number of us who said we will serve the food bank down at our local school, a growing number of us who said we are in. And we will continue to be a church that serves every person that walks through the door. You're like, Ben, what does that mean for me? Here's what it means for you. If you never contribute here, you can have a home here. But for others of us, in order for people like that to have a home here, we will have to contribute and grow in our contribution. Would you agree? You see, we miss out on what matters most, but I want to tell you this is something never to miss out on. Here's how I will say it. We should always be seeking to get in on what God is up to in our lives, our church, our city, and our world. Guys, like you should figure this out. You should live with this mantra. You don't have to quote me in the tweet, okay? You do not have to give like you don't have to like have some beautiful Instagram picture with your handsome pastor. Like, listen to what I heard today. But you should always be seeking to get in on what God is up to in your life. There's nothing better in your life than what God is blessing. You should seek to get in on what God is up to in our church. There's nothing better than for you to find how he's gifted and wired you, what he's laying before our church opportunity-wise, and you step into that. And the same is true in our city and in our world. Here's why. I don't know anything as exciting as being in the middle of what God's doing. See, some of you, so far, you lived your entire life, and you've yet to actually be in the middle of what God's doing. And he's going, come participate. The other reason why this is true is you never have to wonder if God will bless your participation in the very thing he's doing. Like, you don't jump into the middle of what God's doing and go, will you bless this? God always blesses what God is doing. We get the blessing if we step into what he's doing. We miss the blessing if we stay outside of what he's doing. Every single one of us might like going to watch our favorite thing from the sidelines, but there's nothing quite like being in the game. There's nothing like being in the game. You tell me this, when the temple gets built and they do a dedication and everyone's applauding and they're like, this is amazing. I mean, this is the presence of God. This is where we will bring our sacrifices. Everyone is in awe of this temple. But do you know who has the deepest attachment to the temple? Because whatever you give to, your heart gets attached to. Would you agree? You know this is true. Whatever you give the most to, your heart gets attached to. This is true for people. It's true when it comes to possession. This is true when it comes to what we're talking about today. We get the deepest attachment to the things we give the most to generously and sacrificially. It's true if you're a parent. It's true if you lay down your life and give something to people who work with you or for you. It's true every time that we serve those in our neighborhood and throughout our city and around the world, we get deeply attached. I mean, God has done so much here in this 250 Stevenson space over the past 5 years, and so many of us have benefited from it, and so many of us love the stories of life change that has been celebrated, all of those babies that have been dedicated, on and on and on. But do you know who has the deepest attachment to this place? It's the people who 5 years ago, 218 individuals and families said they would pay it forward because a lot of you weren't here yet. We didn't know how beautiful you would be, but we wanted to make sure when your beautiful self showed up, we were ready for you. And the people who will have the deepest attachment to our permanent space in San Francisco, you guessed it. It'll be those of us who step into that opportunity today. One of our nine core values of the church, five staff values, nine church values is this one: together is better. That's why we're always pushing maximum participation in everything that we do. You see, we think it's better when all of us are in community. We think it's better when all of us serve in some area of our church, and we think it will be better if 100% of us who call Epic Church home will participate in this home initiative. We just think it's better that way. When you get to all of these totals that they gave, there's something that should astound you, and you should recognize for them, and it's true for us 3,000 years later, we can do exponentially more together than any of us could ever do alone. I'm going to say that again. I know some of you are like, Ben, I was hoping you guys would all do it collectively and I would stay back alone. We can do so much more. And this isn't just about finances. We can do so much more if I decide to bring my spiritual gift and you bring yours and you bring yours and you bring yours. And here's what's crazy in God's economy. When I bring mine and Krista brings her gift and Marcella brings his gift, right? When Sonia brings her gift, when we do that, we're not just adding it up. Somehow God takes all of us collectively and he does some multiplicative thing. And I love that in the economy of God. So we're not just giving, and we're not just adding up our dollars today. Somehow, I've been reading even in the Gospel of Mark, what Jesus is, he's taken what little bit his disciples have, what little bit this boy has, and he's like, I can do something with that. I can do something with that. That boy thought what he had was insignificant. Some of you think today your commitment is insignificant, and God can do something with that. He can do something with the $10. He can do something with $10,000. He can unlock a space as we give today. He can be preparing something because no one in this city has more authority than he does, whatever it may seem like. If God wants to turn the heart of a landlord today, so be it. So be it. I want to get in on what God is up to, and I want to encourage you to get in on what God is up to as well. One of my favorite quotes that some of you know, and I'll say it for a long time, comes from a lady named Tricia Neal. She's a leader at a church in London, and she said this in her book, From Vision to Action: with the participation of the whole congregation, a church can afford a big vision. No secret, if you're part of our church community, that this is the largest vision we've ever ran after. This is the most long-term future we've ever set our sights on. I was with some friends this week. I gather once a year with church planters and church leaders from all over the U.S. living in strategic cities, and it didn't seem like any of them wanted to trade with me. I'm like, but guys, it's going to take a miracle, and I'm going to be there when God does it. We're going to be there when God does it. They're like, what? What do you? Yeah, we're going for it. We are absolutely going for it. But you need to understand something, lest we settle for something that's smaller than what God is doing here. Today isn't primarily about what any of us will do. Today isn't even ultimately about what all of us will do together. Today is about who God is, what God has done for nearly 10 years now, what he will do for the next 10 years and beyond. And you see, David captures this idea. How many of you, when you give, I can't say that I've had a worship experience every time I give like David did. He's like, this is amazing. I just gave what's equivalent to billions of dollars in 2019, and I cannot believe it. And it's like he's trying to figure every adjective he can to describe who God is. So if you look at verses 10 through 13, let me encourage you. Otherwise, we just think it's about a temple, and we just think it's about generosity. He's like, here's who God is. He is eternal. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is great. He is powerful. He is glorious. He's majestic. He's full of splendor. And then he says this. He says, everything in heaven and earth belongs to God, including our resources. And all of us are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're like, really? And he says at the end of verse 14, God, we've only given to you what first came from your hand. One of the places where we miss the get-to privilege of life is when we think we alone are responsible for what we've been given. But guys, no matter how far back you need to go, at some point there has to be someone beside you and someone before you. You're like, Ben, I have the money I have because I work really hard. I'm so thrilled that you do. God actually tells us in the scriptures that you should work hard, but who gave you the mind to work hard with? Well, Ben, you see, I got 23 chromosomes from my mom and I got 23 chromosomes from my dad. That's awesome. Who gave them their chromosomes? Well, you see, they had parents, and you trace it all the way back. You go as far back as you need to, but at some point in time, there's a designer and there's a creator and there's a giver of all good things, as James says in chapter 1, verse 17. That God is for you. He wants you to maximize what you've been given, but you didn't give to yourself, because before you were a thing, someone else had to exist, and he brought you into being, and he blessed you, and he gave you, and he gave you a purpose, and he gave you his son, Jesus. It belongs all to him. And David is just stunned. He's like, I cannot believe this. Here's the question he basically asks. You'll see it on the screen. Who are we that we get to give and participate in what God is doing? He has the ultimate get-to posture. He's just like, who are we? Like, how in the world do we get to do this? You see, the consultant that we have for this home initiative, I know he would tell me not to say what I'm about to say. Don't tell him. There's no coercion here. If you don't want to participate in what we're doing as a church for the future, we will keep serving you. I promise. I mean, Will will put your face on a dartboard, and that's what we do on Tuesday afternoons. We will keep serving you. We'll keep giving you our best. We'll keep praying for you. We'll show up at the hospital. If you have a baby, we'll bring you food. We'll make sure that you have community, even if you don't want to serve in some way. We'll just make sure of it. But for those of you who don't want to miss out on what God's going to do in the future, let's get in on this. I believe today is significant personally because I see it as being the bridge between the last 10 years and the next 10 years and beyond. And I want you to hear from a family in our church who are really here from day one, but they're also really passionate about what God's going to do in the future. Watch this. We launched Epic Church at the W Hotel in 2011. And though I had high hopes, I'm not sure I ever could have imagined all that would take place between that day and today. We've seen over 200 baptisms in our church. There are over 100 kids and students who show up at Epic each Sunday. 40 small groups where people just like you are experiencing community and growing in your faith. We've given over $1.5 million to our local and global partners. We have this clarifying vision to see an increasing number of people here in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. And now, with this home initiative, we are going to be able to see this vision become an even greater reality.
I'm Carla.
I'm Ernie, and we have two kids. James is 11, and Eden is 9. And we've been coming to Epic since January of 2011.
We were really excited when we found Epic here, and we found out about it through the mailers, but were a little bit unsure what it was going to be like.
Well, I was unsure because Carla saw the mailer and she said, hey, look, it's so close. We should go check it out. And I said, I don't want to go to a startup church. You know, let's see if they're around in 6 months. But Carla, of course, was right.
Yeah, it just felt right. I mean, it was what we were looking for with the Bible-focused sermons and this really welcoming open community, and it just felt right for us. And so we were really excited and relieved and happy to find that place for us to go to church, not only in the city, but just almost right around the corner from where we live. So it's been great.
I mean, we can honestly say that our kids have essentially grown up with Epic. From our viewpoint as parents, especially, it's been amazing for them to be able to grow up in San Francisco and have a strong, steady Christian environment. We had just started to think about what we were gonna do about kindergarten for James. And as any parent with kids in the city will tell you, school in the city can be challenging. And so we were very seriously considering moving to the suburbs and finding a good public school down there and maybe a house with a yard. That was right when we started coming to Epic. And I wouldn't say that it's the only reason we stayed, but it was a very, very significant reason that we stayed. We finally felt like we found a church home, and to think about giving that up for whatever reason didn't make a lot of sense to us. And so we made a firm commitment that we were going to stay in the city and raise our family and raise our kids in the city.
I've been volunteering with the kids program, I'm not even sure how many years, several years now. And so it's been really amazing to see it grow from one big room at the W with a bunch of kids, you know, all together, into what it is now with all the rooms that are age specific and the amazing teachers who volunteer their time and really do such a great job of teaching the kids and nurturing them and showing them God's love. Part of my role is to tally up how many kids come through when I volunteer at check-in, and it just seeing those numbers grow has been amazing, and it's just a testament to the need for that in downtown San Francisco, but also how the growth continues, and we're kind of looking forward and figuring out what we're going to do to continue to serve that need.
We've been in this neighborhood for a long time, and we've seen Soma just explode.
It kind of feels like Epic arrived at just the right time, where there was growth in residents and families, and it was really the perfect time for the church to take root and to be able to be there for that need that existed in the city, but people may not have really recognized before, or may have felt like they needed to go elsewhere to find that, and having Epic where it is right here in this neighborhood that's changing and growing and is so dynamic has been really meaningful.
I think we're also excited about home, not just for what it can mean to our church community here at Epic, which obviously is significant, but also what it tells the rest of the city about Epic and what our intentions are. That we are here and we're here to stay, and we expect to be a big part of the downtown Soma, San Francisco area, and that we're going to be contributors.
Epic has been so meaningful to us in so many ways, and so we feel it's really worthwhile for us to be, amidst all the constraints and demands that are on everybody's resources, to be happy and willing to give what to us is a significant amount because of not just what we've gained from being a part of Epic, but what we see as the potential benefit to so many people and families in this area and even beyond this area. It just seems so worthwhile, and like there couldn't be a better place for us to invest.
I mean, when you think about how Epic began, and long before, you know, any one of us stepped foot into the W Hotel back in the day, and then the Howard Street location, and then now Stevenson Street, there were people of faith outside of the city and all the way across the country who contributed their own resources on the belief that God could and would create a thriving Christian community here in downtown San Francisco. And so I think of the Home Initiative as just a privilege for us to be able to pay that forward.
In just a minute, those of us who call Epic Church home and are participating in this, I'm going to pray. And then as Seth and the band begin to lead the song Waymaker that we think is appropriate as we are praying for God to make a way for our future, you have a chance to bring your gifts and commitments up. Again, if you've already made your commitment, A, thank you. B, you can just bring that envelope up that's in your seat, because we want you all, just like our family is going to do, to participate in this moment, although we've already committed. For those of you watching online, you'll have a prompt from the online host that will show you where you can fill out your commitment card online. And if you're not prepared to do this, but you're part of our church, zero pressure. You can take that envelope home, you can pray about it, make a decision, you can put that in the mail tomorrow, or fill out an online commitment as well. But guys, remember, God loves cheerful givers because God is a cheerful giver. And one of the things that we don't always think could be possible is equating a get-to mentality with paying a high price. Would you agree? So I want to give you one verse from Scripture to show you two things. I think the greatest get-to in all of history and the greatest price that was ever paid in all of history. I want you to see it. I want you to own this verse for your own spirit from God. Here's what it says. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the get-to set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He gave the highest price, and he saw it as a get-to. You remember what I told you maybe 15 minutes ago? You're like, Ben, no. The most depressing thing ever for a speaker. I told you that the people who get most attached to something or someone are the people who give the most. I don't know what lie you've believed about who God is or anything you know about Jesus, but I want you to know that he is heavily vested in you because he's already made an investment for you. And today, I think there's people in here that your commitment day has nothing to do with the resource initiative. Your commitment day is you stepping from death into life, you stepping from shame into grace, you stepping from what you deserve to receiving the mercy of God, you stepping from being a spiritual orphan to becoming a son or daughter of God. And if that's you in the room, I want to lead you just into a short prayer. Simply this: Jesus, save me from a life without you and lead me to a life with you. If you've done that, we would love to help you know what that life could look like. You can fill out a card. You can respond online or on the app. And then for the rest of us, here's our whole idea today. If this becomes a get-to for us, it will become a get-to for them. You do know that, right? See, my get-to isn't just tied to my get-to. My get-to is tied to their get-to. You see, if we get to give and we get to invite and we get to pray and we get to serve and we get to lead and we get to show up early and we get to come late, if we get to open our home and we get to have a small group in that home, if we get to continue to produce online content, if we get to participate in this home initiative, then they will get to, and they will get to have a seat. They will get to experience life-giving community and leave their life of isolation. They will get the chance to have their kids and teenagers know that there's a God who loves them and has a purpose for their life. They might see their marriages healed. They might realize that God has a plan and purpose behind everything that they've been given in this life. They might trust Jesus and put their faith in him. They might get baptized and celebrate their new life in Christ in a corner just like this. They might get to have eternity with God. I get to so that they get to. Will you get to so that they get to? Church, will we see this as a get to so they get to receive it as a get to? I'm going to pray for us and then we'll bring our gifts and commitments forward. God, you are a get to God. Forgive me and every one of us when we forget that. God, you love us. You created the world. You created us to be with you. God, before there was a building. There was a God who created us to dwell in his presence. And then you send Jesus, and you do that out of get to. You do that out of joy. And Jesus, you said for the joy set before you, you gave. And you had this deep attachment to your created humanity. And we see you today. We respond to you today. Would you give us the privilege of participating in what you are doing? Yes, with this home initiative. Yes, with using our gifts. Yes, in our neighborhoods and where our vocations take place. Would you take what we're bringing today and would you multiply it? And Jesus, even as we're praying in this moment, would you unlock a beautiful space in Soma? God, would you give the landlord a mind to think he needs to give that building to a church? God, would it be the kind of place where we can expand our kids and student ministry? God, I'm praying for a rooftop terrace where we can pray over the city together. God, would you meet the needs of our city through the future space of Epic Church? God, you know everything. You know what's in our hearts. God, I pray before we approach this stage that we would have a get-to in our spirit, just like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand as Seth leads us, and when you're ready, if you want to, you can bring your gifts and commitments and just lay them on this makeshift altar. Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.